It's Tuesday, and welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, a new show that's pretty Gabe and friendly. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And,
oh boy.
Yeah, we got some Steam hardware news, like lots of it, all at once.
Oh boy.
Like, dude, they dropped the bombs.
This week has been big news for the Steam fans out there. The one that caught my eye quite literally was the Steam Frame, the new VR system that that Steam is putting out there. Now, mind you, you know, VR is still kind of like, it's a niche market, right?
I was about to say, what's new in VR that we've all played in the last year?
All right. And there hasn't really been any big innovations as far as VR, development's still kind of a development hell for a lot of this. And there's a lot of stuff about VR that's still there, but there's some really, really good games in VR. And I think what Steam is, banking on is, is having the platform to be able to basically marry all of the different kinds of VR headsets out there into one good platform, and then be able to say, hey, look, this is the platform. This is the way that you're going to go with it. And then have a, have that be the platform that developers develop for.
Are they using, they're not using light boxes anymore, are they?
No, this is going to be an inside out system instead of an outside in. In the past, outside in has been better for tracking, right? So there's, your lighthouses are going to be able to pick up where your controllers are a lot more accurately. Whereas inside out, you can kind of lose the controllers if you go behind the headset in some places. With the new frame, they've got an array of monochromatic cameras on the on the frame itself, and individual gyros for the controllers that do a predictive track where you're going. So say you're reaching behind yourself to pull an arrow out of a quiver or something like that, right? Or reaching for the sword on your back or whatever. It will predict where you're where that's going based off of where the camera's last left off and your and the gyroscope that is in the controller. It will be able to track where your hand is. I don't know how good that's going to be for, say, games like Beat Saber, which has a lot of random movements.
Yeah, I mean, even last gen Inside Out was doing okay with that. I never really had. You're hyper competitive with it, so I think you noticed it more than me, but I've always been able to play that just fine with, what did I have? Quest, the last version of Quest.
MetaQuest right. 2.
Yeah,
Quest
same 2. One that Jason has.
The controller Inside Out, for the most part, you're going to have your controllers within view of the camera, for the most part. Place the camera arrays on this makes the most sense. Like it's going to be able to pick up a good range of motion. But yeah, that's just one of the things. Like there's so much to this. So it's a modular system, right? So the lenses and the, basically the whole computer, it has its own processing on board, kind of like the Quest 2. But it's using, Snapdragon 8, processors. It's got, up to 144 hertz refresh rate, 2160 by 2160 per eye.
That's
on pancake
great.
Lenses. Just really great. It is LCD screens based off of, based off of, the pancake lenses, the pancake style lenses. And, I don't think that's going to be that big deal.
Which I've seen some people, saying they're disappointed because they're not OLEDs. But at the same time, I kind of agree with Valve. Like, how much of their battery life, how much power are they expending in the Apple Vision Pros and, like, the big screen Beyond 2s to drive OLED displays?
I wonder. I don't think you're going to get the, you know, when you're that close, you can really kind of make the best out of, you know, out of the displays based off of some of the other technology that they're putting into this. So
from what I understand, though, it's an all-in-one system. It's not designed to pair with your PC.
No, it's both.
It is designed to both pair with your PC, either via cable or 6 gigahertz stream with a dongle, or even Wi-Fi if you so choose.
Wi-Fi 60.
Or it does have a Snapdragon chip capable of playing a lot of VR games standalone.
Interesting. Right.
It runs SteamOS. So it has, you know, basically the same operating system that, you know, like the Steam machines run on, and, you know, the Steam Deck that has, you know, that's really great. They've made some big changes to how SteamOS actually is making more games compatible with it, which is really fantastic. But the fact that it's running a SteamOS, which they continue to work on, that it is its own machine. It does not need to be connected to a computer, but you can choose to use your computer for graphics processing using the Wi-Fi connectivity. That Wi-Fi connectivity provides enough bandwidth, provided that you're in the same room, because it's going to be very much, you know, based off of line of sight, because the Wi-Fi protocol that they're using doesn't go through walls very well. But if you're in the same room, you've got, you know, you've got your basically cordless setup. It's got a battery pack that sits on the back, you know, behind your head, on the straps.
So
it's,
to balance it back behind your head, that's always so a thing.
Balances the weight. It's 185 grams for the core unit, which is the front portion of the unit, and it's 440 grams with head strap, audio, and the rear battery, which really isn't. I mean, if you compare that to the Apple Vision Pro, it's basically half the weight of the Apple Vision Pro.
So how many total grams?
440.
So just under a pound. So you think about wearing a pound of hamburger on your head, and that's about how heavy we're at.
It's not too bad.
Yes, but from everything, every journalist and YouTuber I saw get hands-on with it, all said, because Valve basically made the battery pack the back of the head strap, the front of it is surprisingly light despite the computer being in it. So they said it felt more similar to, obviously not as light because big screen Beyond is so compact, but it felt similar to that as far as weight distribution, where you couldn't hardly tell you were wearing it.
Gotcha.
Which is really great. They did, they've got some, I think they've got some work to do with the faceplate, because they did say that the pancake lenses are there, and that there's a little bit of adjustability for people who had long eyelashes, but they also need to work on prescription lenses to be added on to those for glass wearers like us. Once they get that worked out, then it's going to be basically a no-brainer. If I pick up a VR headset, this is going to be it. There is one extra thing here. Remember when I said that, you know, the resolution was not necessarily that big of a deal to me? It's because that this has eye tracking in it. This has the ability to track where your eyes are. And if it can track your eyes well enough, what it will do is it will actually do,
they call it foveated streaming.
Yeah, foveated streaming.
Basically what it is it's foveated rendering, like on the Quest 3 and the PSVR, but they call it foveated streaming because it works from on the stream from your PC. So if you're playing a VR game via that 6 gigahertz link or over Wi-Fi, what they're going to do in software is they're going to lower the resolution for everything outside of your direct visual perspective.
It's tracking your eye and providing a clear spot wherever you're looking versus where you're not, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And it's quick.
And it's extremely fast. Like, that is the one thing universally I heard from every YouTuber, read from every journalist, was that they could not trick it where they could see the lower fidelities in the spots where it's lowering the visual quality.
Right. So your peripheral vision, you know, basically anything that's outside of your direct line of sight is going to be a lower resolution, but it's not going to be something to, you know, it'll be more to the order of like, and it's just a, you know, not blocky, but kind of blurred a little bit, which.
Yeah. Let's say you're getting 75% of what's in your direct vision on your peripheral, like 75 to 80%.
Yeah.
It's not enough to throw you off, but it's enough to allow the actual wireless streaming of your game to function so much better than it has with the Quest 2 or 3 on wireless.
Yeah, it's going to be a game changer. The entire package here is looking to be, like I was saying before, the way to play VR games. Like, it's going to take, it's firing direct shots at Meta. It's firing, you know, it basically takes their, you know, Valve's own product, the Index, and tosses it out the window. They're end of lifing the Index and the lighthouses. They're trying to sell off like the ability to use the lighthouses for other VR. But, you know, because they're good. But they're just not going to use it because this is the way that they're going forward with it.
I think they've realized with the with all of the other competing products out there, the way to beat them, or, you know, get close to them in the case of the MetaQuest in price, is by not using all of that external hardware, right? Because I think the Index with the lighthouse, home bases, lighthouses.
Yeah, lighthouses.
The headset and the controllers as a package is still like $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay,
which is more expensive for most people.
It's not worth it for what's out there.
Right.
Yeah. The big thing here is they're really making it the way to go. And like I was saying, you know, earlier, SteamOS working on ARM basically means that you're going to be able to run Windows x86 code, and they're recompiling it, emulating it right on the hardware. It can run a lot more games than it used to. And that is a big change for SteamOS. And integrating that into an ARM-based chip. It is absolutely insane. It is going to be a game changer. I am really looking forward to seeing what it's going to cost, because this could be pricey, but if they're smart about it, they could, you know, do what they did, you know, in the past is take losses on hardware and start pushing software for it, and go, you know, and make it an entry point, because I mean, VR has always had a very big barrier to entry. It's like not a lot of things, you know, for it. And it costs a lot to set up properly. Not many people get into it. If they really want to make this, you know, this go hard, they can't go freaking Apple Vision, you know, Apple Vision Pro. They've got to go, you know, they've got to do Quest 2, Quest 3 style, pricing, to make this work. But that's all to be, seen. It's going to be coming out next year, sometime. There's probably going to be even more, information, released in the future. But it is really promising for VR. And I've been jonesing to get back into Beat Saber. And this might be the time. This might be it.
Well, with that, tell us what you guys think in the comments below. And I'm sure you will hear more from us about VR, is that we all like it, but there's just not a lot out there. But you can find full episodes at tiltcast.com on iTunes and Spotify. Obviously, go to our YouTube channel and find us at YouTube, Tiltcast Shorts with a Z. And with that, we'll see you guys Thursday.